section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
The best podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. On today's show, we have Aaron, Roger, and Doug to join me as we discuss the 2016 WWE draft results. Aaron, which brand would you rather run right now?
Right now, Raw. After seeing the results and seeing, you know, who was drafted where, I would rather have Raw on my side right now.
All right. And Doug, what are your thoughts on it?
I'll have to agree. I think I'd rather have the Raw roster right now than SmackDown.
And Roger, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's any question Raw is by far. I mean, they got three for every two that SmackDown got. So, yeah, they had the better roster.
Now, did you think that at some point they basically screwed SmackDown, Roger?
I thought the rules made it seem like Raw was the A show. If you're going to give somebody three for every two and a pick, I mean, we've all done fantasy drafts. You're going to get a better roster because basically you get the first pick, the third pick, the fifth pick. Oh, and now you get the sixth pick. You're going to have four of the top six every time. It's just way too much.
Now, Doug, do you feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, when you have two or three fifths of the picks, you're going to have a lot more to pick from, and you got just overall higher numbers.
Now, Aaron, what do you think about the just Raw itself? That they like, it seems that we're all agreeing that Raw actually got the better roster. I mean, do you think that they basically did that on purpose so SmackDown has to grow and Raw is just kind of already there?
Well, let's talk about this a little bit in kayfabe. And we have Raw picking Rollins first overall. Totally makes sense. SmackDown going with Ambrose. Totally makes sense. That is a smart move, you know, because you have, Steph is saying, I think Rollins is going to be the champion. He has a shot tonight and he has a shot on Sunday. I completely understand. And then SmackDown picking the WWE champion. Raw then went with Charlotte. They went with the women's champion. SmackDown theoretically should have said, okay, that's fine. You're going to take the women. We're going to take the tag teams. And New Day, then, they didn't go. They were Raw's sixth overall pick. So they were the last pick for them in the second round. Yet SmackDown, and don't get me wrong, when you look at their picks, they go Ambrose and then AJ Styles, and then they went Cena and then Orton. You know, right there you have four very, very, very big contenders. But the thing is, Raw, when you have those extra picks, you know, it goes Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw, Raw again. You know, it's not going to work out very well for SmackDown. And so, you know, Raw was able to capitalize on that. They get the WWE Women's Champion, the Tag Team Champion, the U.S. Champion, and they have 2/3 of the competitors going against the WWE Champion on Sunday. So there's a theoretical chance that they could have the WWE Champion too. So I don't know what the plan here is with Raw and SmackDown.
I really thought that SmackDown was going the right direction at first. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're going to get Baron Corbin. Oh, well, they screwed that one up right off the bat. But I guess Raw is there's no other way. Raw is the brand. But I like how they put people that they thought were going to be big going back to Baron Corbin, him, that he's going to be some big guy on there. Cause let's just put it this way. We know that possibly Randy Orton's going to be a part timer. Well, possibly at least. But then the tag teams are really not there unless you have Mojo and Ryder combined. But Raw got it. I'm just wondering where Heath Slater's going to go. So, Doug, what do you think about... Do you think that Raw itself might become the better show now instead of SmackDown, like we thought at first?
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, it's all going to come down to creative and what storylines they put together. I just see better storylines on Raw than I do SmackDown, just... looking at the players together. I mean, you have Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens both on Raw. You have a lot of the contention there. You have a lot of the good women are on Raw. You have a lot of the tag teams are on Raw. And then let's not also forget that Raw is going to be the cruiserweight show exclusive to Raw. So, you know, your winner of the Cruiserweight Classic is automatically going to get a contract to go to Raw then, or?
Well, I guess they haven't announced that part of it. You know, speaking of that, have you watched any of the Cruiserweight Classic, Doug?
Yeah, I've loved it so far.
Excellent. And Roger, do you think that the Cruiserweight Classic, basically the fact they're going to put Cruiserweights on Raw, do you think that was a good idea, or do you think they should have been on SmackDown?
Well, initially, I thought SmackDown was going to be more of the pure wrestling show. We talked about that kind of during our little draft special. So with, I guess, I mean, the way it looks out right now, Raw looks to be more of the pure wrestlers with Balor and Sammy and Owens and Cesaro. So I guess the Cruiserweights going on Raw does make sense. I'm not really sure about how the titles are going to work out right now. So that's my biggest concern. Like, will the Cruiserweight title be exclusive to Raw? Will the women's title be exclusive to Raw? Like, how is this going to work? Because you have women and tag team split across two shows right now. Are all the titles going back and forth?
That is a good question. I would assume that they're going to have Raw, like, one show will have the IC, one will have the US, and then I think they'll have like a television champion type thing on one, and then that will be like the main belt, if you want to say that. That's the only thing I can think of. But
well,
also,
but they have the Cruiserweight title potentially. You know, I mean, they said that they're going to have the Cruiserweights on Raw, so I think that they'll probably have a Cruiserweight title more than likely. So, but that also means, though, if you think about it, Raw then is going to have the U.S. title, the tag, the women's, and then potentially a Cruiserweight title.
And most likely they'll have the world title most of the year.
Yeah.
Well, do you think they're going to create another title? Because they did change the actual, I mean, the title right now is now just the WWE title. There's no heavyweight title.
I feel like if they were going to do that, they would have done that with that weird little double finish they did and split it off into two and have each one of them claim they were champions. I mean, they still could do that. It does seem weird if they go, because wasn't the unification like 2, 3, maybe 4 years ago? It didn't feel like it was that long ago.
Yeah, we were at actually when they raised the belts. Remember, Roger? We were at that. I don't want to get into too much battleground speculation right now, but what if, let's say, Ambrose and Rollins both pin Reigns at the same time, and then you have that, you know, like, oh, who's the real champion here? You know, both of them pinned, and then they decide, all right, we'll split the belt. We'll give a world heavyweight and WWE title. They could do something like that. You know, that's not necessarily my prediction, but they could do that. But Roger, you mentioned, you know, you have some concerns, some worries about the titles and how they're going to work. The US and the IC are going to be exclusive to their respective brands. What would you do with the women's and the tag team, though, if it were up to you?
Well, and I had said this before, I would have each one of them be exclusive to a brand. So going off of what you said, the moment Charlotte was picked, and they actually allude to this later when Daniel Bryan says, I hate to do this, but because we need the IC title, I'm going to take Miz. His second pick should have been, I'm going to take the New Day, and the tag teams are going to become the SmackDown like foundation. Yeah, we're not going to have the women's championship, but we're going to take the tag teams. So now all of the tag teams, like American Alpha and the Usos and anybody from NXT, want to go to SmackDown. So it would have been a nice little split. Women's wrestling's on Raw. Tag team wrestling's on SmackDown. Cruiserweight wrestling is on Raw. You know, you have a little bit of a split, and you have a division, and you have something unique for each show.
And then they can also decide, hey, are the Cruiserweights what everyone wants to see? So then they can focus more on that. On, let's say, if it's doing great on Raw, they focus like almost an entire hour just to the Cruiserweight themselves. I mean, they could always do something like that. You know, one thing we've all discussed is that basically we think that everything's uneven right now. And Roger, if there's a way, could you take maybe three wrestlers and move them to SmackDown? Then it would actually improve the show? I mean, do you have any that would work?
Well, if I had to go three who need to go to SmackDown immediately, off the top of my head, Cesaro goes over. He fits SmackDown like a charm. I would actually move Kevin Owens over, and I would insert him as my 1-2 top heel. Because right now, if you look at the heel side, it's just AJ. Randy Orton's going to come back a face, and you've got Bray Wyatt as your second biggest face, and he hasn't been built very well. So you slap over Kevin Owens. And then the last one, I would probably move the New Day over and let New Day feud with Alpha and Usos and some of those other ones, so that they have like a – they need like a significant title, because I don't believe the WWE title is going to stay over there very long. I think it's going to go back to Raw eventually. So let the tag team be the, you know, foundation of SmackDown.
Well, also they could do something where like you just brought the world title. They could actually have something at their first Raw theme pay-per-view. they could say that there will be a champion crown. They'll do, I don't know, like some type of tournament, and they'll say it's the World Heavyweight Champion instead of the WWE Champion. That's always something they could try.
But we just had a tournament 6 months ago.
I know. The planning out of this has been horrible. It's like, yeah, they were probably like, all right, it's 5:55, and we basically are going to go live with the pre-show. Anyone have idea what we're going to talk about?
So there's another thing I want to talk about, and this has kind of gotten lost in the rosters, is that I do not like the GM pick for Raw. And I like Mick Foley. Always enjoyed his character. But Stephanie McMahon is a clear heel. You have said that Shane McMahon is the face in this. Daniel Bryan's the underdog. Why do you have a face GM for Stephanie when in reality, this is exactly where Triple H should have made his comeback, and he should have been the GM because Stephanie and Triple H do work together well. He's also the godfather of NXT, so he has an advantage in scouting, and it's very logical for Stephanie to pick to say, hey, I want you to be the person who's the head of talent. There's no logical reason for Foley to be here over Hunter. And the commentary teams. If you're going to call up Corey Graves, you shouldn't have broken up the Cole, JBL, Saxon trio, even though they're awful. You should have put Corey Graves with Ranallo over on SmackDown and let that be a new voice for a new era. Instead, you throw JBL and his outdated 1980s commentary style with Ranallo and Otunga, and you move Graves to Raw, and you take him from NXT, and now he's got to talk about all the BS that Vince wants to talk about on Raw. Like, why did you split this up unnecessarily?
Totally agree. 100% agree.
Okay. Yes. With Corey Graves moving over to Raw, can he actually start yelling at Michael Cole like he does to Todd Phillips?
I think he's going to yell at Saxton.
Yeah. Man, I'd rather have him yell at Cole, though.
But Saxton's been the whipping boy, no pun intended, for everybody. Kevin Owens. I mean, everybody who's come out has basically made fun of Saxton at will. So they pretty much established him as like the doofus. I mean, even I think John Cena makes fun of him now, and Cena doesn't make fun of anyone anymore.
Well, that is definitely true. Yeah. So overall, I was actually happy how they presented it, because on the network they had the companion, and they would come up and talk about how what the superstar did and all the stuff. So they made it more like a real like NFL style draft, which I thought was fun at least. But other than that, Aaron, what'd you think about Cesaro? Do you think that was a work or if it was a real shoot?
I think it was a work shoot. I think that they went in there and they were like, all right, you're going to be a little upset because of this, you know, so go with that. And they kind of wanted to see him and how he would do in that type of a setting, because I felt that a lot of the after the draft stuff was not scripted necessarily. You had who was it? The Usos. They were asked about Roman Reigns. You also then had Kalisto and his absolutely famous promo that he gave. Lucha. That promo that was really great. So I do feel that it was a worked shoot. I don't think that he is necessarily going to get in trouble for it. I think that more than anything else, there might be an eyebrow raise, and it might be setting up a potential feud with him versus Stephanie McMahon. And that, I think, if that is the case, if they're actually doing this in a smart way, they're going to have this will build Cesaro. There was a talk about potentially doing Cesaro and Lesnar as a match, which I'm totally in favor of. And if you build Cesaro up in such a way that they could have a match at the end of the year at Survivor Series or at Royal Rumble, if you build Cesaro up to be this monster face who has risen against authority, then you could do that. So, that's my thought on the situation. I think that it is a work shoot, and Cesaro is going to get built up for bigger and better things.
Doug, what'd you think about the fact that SmackDown actually beat Raw this week in the ratings? And I don't know if that's ever happened.
2003.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not very surprised by it in the fact that the draft actually happens on SmackDown. So you have probably the biggest event of the year besides WrestleMania on SmackDown. The biggest, what people have been looking forward to and everything like that. So seeing that it was on SmackDown, I'm not surprised that SmackDown had better ratings than Raw.
What are your thoughts about that, Roger?
Well, I mean, if you look at what Raw had to offer, it was basically the go-home show before the big event, right? So everyone was tuning in on Tuesday to see the draft and where the rosters were going to go, whereas Monday didn't really matter. So if SmackDown didn't beat Raw in the ratings, I would be more concerned than if, you know, SmackDown beats Raw. Going forward, I'm going to be interested to see if they can kind of recreate that SmackDown 6 magic that Heyman had back in 2002 when they were actually beating Raw. Because, yeah, SmackDown has been the B-show ever since Swagger touched the heavyweight championship. They haven't been a relevant show in 6-7 years. So we'll see if they can kind of get back to, I don't know, being relevant. I worry that SmackDown in the WWE's eyes is still AAA. It's just not that important to them.
And I agree with you, Roger, and just want to echo a little bit more, which is that this Monday, I'm really looking forward to Monday for one big reason, and that is Finn Balor. I cannot wait to see Finn on Raw and to see who he's going to feud with. You know, obviously he had a feud with Kevin Owens, so they could reignite that if they wanted to. But he has other dance partners now that he could play with that he's never, you know, really been on the main stage with before. And that could be really exciting. What's his involvement going to be with the club? What are they going to do there? That is really exciting. But let's look at SmackDown. And Doug, for you, when you look at SmackDown, who there are you excited to see, you know, a week from now? Who are you excited to see to tune in for on SmackDown? What are you tuning in for right now?
AJ Styles. For SmackDown, it is. I'm excited to see that AJ Styles was picked over John Cena. That it shows that he is a major player in the SmackDown scheme. Yeah, you picked Dean Ambrose because he's the champion first, but your next pick then is AJ Styles. So I look forward to seeing him and what they're going to do with him and making him a big-time player. If Dean does lose the title and it goes to a Smack or a Raw person, if they create a title and give it to AJ so that he has something to claim himself as a champion now for in WWE. So I look forward to that. I also look forward to seeing what American Alpha can do in a major capacity. So we'll see what they can do. But other than that, I look at that setup and I don't understand why Kalisto is on SmackDown when he is a cruiserweight and the cruiserweights are on Raw.
Yeah.
I don't understand why Breezango. Tyler Breeze would do phenomenal, I think, in a cruiserweight setting class.
Yeah. And Andy, what about you? You know, Doug mentioned obviously AJ Styles and American Alpha, which are two names I'm going to tune in for. For you, is there another name that SmackDown could have got either from Raw or NXT that would have made you go, ooh, that's somebody I'm going to tune in for?
If they were the ones who picked up Finn Balor, then yes. I think that would have been the, oh, wow, they got Finn? That's my thoughts about that. I wish that Owens was actually on SmackDown. And then basically you put, you know, focus the show around Owens and also Ambrose and AJ Styles. Just those three guys. You can make something big then. And they don't have to fight each other all the time. They could be doing their own feuds, and they could take up – the three of them could take up a solid hour worth of matches and promos, and I'd be okay with it. I know the other wrestlers wouldn't. But, yeah, that's the – I'm really – how come Bo Dallas and Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel, why didn't they just draft him as a social outcast? They would have got one pick.
They wanted to make the Heath Slater joke. That's the only reason why.
Just to make, Oh, well.
So, and they probably, I don't know, they haven't really been referring to them as social outcasts since Adam Rose got terminated, have they?
Who?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Leo Kruger, excuse me.
Who?
Now, what do you guys think about the Wyatt family getting broken up?
I think it's a mistake.
Are they really broken up, or is it just Braun Strowman's breaking off?
Braun Strowman was the only one because you have Wyatt and Harper on, Rowan on SmackDown, and you have Braun Strowman on Raw.
I'm assuming that Harper's going to come back, and he's going to tag with Braun. Because he's really bad, like, in the ring. So what are they going to do with him? He's going to have to wrestle on Raw.
You're talking about Strowman, right? Not Harper?
No, I'm talking about Strowman.
Harper's really good.
Harper's really good, but just think if Harper has to carry Strowman the entire time. Because, like I said, Strowman himself...
Well, then he'll be out with another knee injury.
But I'm bummed.
No, but I just have a problem with him because I don't think he can carry himself, because with the Wyatts, you could disguise the fact that he was a crappy wrestler. Now he's open. That's, I guess, the issue I see there. So I don't know why they put him on Raw. I just don't get that part.
You know, that brings up another point. They had two stables that they broke up for no apparent reason. Why did they get rid of the club, and why did they get rid of the Wyatts? You don't have any heel dominant forces at all.
I'm wondering if it has to do something with attendance, maybe with the shows that they're on. You can say that, hey, we split up the Bullet Club, but maybe the Bullet Club reforms with Finn as the head guy. You could always do that. Then there's a feud with AJ Styles, or it could be that that was the plan the entire time. One of those things.
The future feud between AJ Styles and Finn Balor, probably at a WrestleMania or something later.
You could do that. You could say that
the battle for the club.
But the only problem is, we said it earlier, is that there's not that many heels now on SmackDown.
Well, AJ Styles, Bray Wyatt, and if you want to be a tweener between Orton, because he's not necessarily a face or a heel, he does his own thing. You have Baron Corbin, you can put as a heel. Alberto Del Rio is a heel. You have the heel, Dolph Ziggler.
I would love to see a heel Ziggler, but I don't think we're going to get that.
I did hear that, and I think this would have also been funny, if you had Demon Kane on one show and Corporate Kane on the other.
I actually would have liked that. That would have been funny.
That would have been good, yeah.
That actually would have been a funny, like, back-to-back pick. Like, I'm taking the Demon Kane. Fine. I'm taking Corporate Kane. And just have Kane come out and look at both shows and just, you know, I don't know where to go.
big smile on it. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Or, like, come out half suit, half mask.
Two-face it.
Yeah. So, just kind of, I guess, to wrap this up, is there any shot without some sort of NXT injection that we believe SmackDown is going to be the superior show for the next year?
I think it'll depend on the ratings. That's what I think it'll depend on. Because let's say SmackDown is dominating all of a sudden the ratings. They're going to then take some people from SmackDown, put them on Raw, and pick the guys, the segments of, like the third quarter was really bad because it had, we'll say, Owens and Zayn in it for some reason. Then they'll swap wrestlers just to see that.
So you think no matter what, they're going to make sure Raw is the higher rated show?
I believe so. I think that no matter what, that's what they're going to do.
I do have one more question for everybody, and that is about the NXT people that were brought up. Are you surprised, disappointed? How do you guys feel about the NXT people that were called up in the draft?
All right. So first things first, I want to say, let's just assume kayfabe wise, they cannot choose champions or the challengers at TakeOver Brooklyn, right? Because yep. Bailey wasn't called up, you know, mm-hmm. She's obviously a challenger, you know, take all the champions out. Nakamura was a challenger. And then, wait, who are
Revival.
The tag? Revival obviously is the champions. Who are the challengers for them?
It would be Gargano and Ciampa right now.
Yeah. So can't choose them. So you take them out of the equation. Not necessarily those are the six I would have picked. Definitely not Mojo Rawley. There's a couple other people I'd probably pick over him. Alexa Bliss would make sense. Nia Jax would make sense as well. American Alpha, obviously. Finn was the number one, and then American Alpha would be the number two, I would think.
To your point, Aaron, about the NXT, remember when we talked about we were worried about the women? Who's left in that NXT women's division?
Totally agree. 100% agree. I took a look, and it's like, it's barren. Like, Asuka is going to face Bayley, and then it's now who?
Like, I don't even know who the second next challenger would be besides Bayley.
Billy Kay?
It would have been Carmella. I was surprised they called Carmella. They called Carmella, and not even with Enzo and Cass.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is it's not even with Enzo and Cass, where she is probably going to succeed even more, is coming out as a ballet for them, and then also she can still be a women's wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Why did Eva Marie, of all people, get called up?
Well, they don't count her.
They don't consider her as a count-up. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. So they count
because
her
she came up at WrestleMania.
Oh, that's right. She did come back. Okay.
She's still horrible.
Yes.
Let's just leave it at that. I don't want to see her. And she's on SmackDown. So basically every time she's going to come on the TV, we all have to make sure that we turn the TV off during that time frame. And then just guess.
Aaron, are you surprised that out of the bigger names from NXT that didn't get called, Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, some of the other guys who they could have tapped into instead of Mojo Rawley, for example, to actually inject some star power. And, you know, imagine if Shane and Daniel Bryan announced Bobby Roode as the 10th pick. That could have been news. That could have been a really big, like, ooh, didn't see that one.
Absolutely. Yeah, Roode would have been one. Aries, although I think Aries would have fared well in the cruiserweight division if they brought him up there. He could have easily been the face of the cruiserweights. Nakamura obviously would have been like my number two overall pick. You know, I've had Finn and probably Nakamura. If you even, let's just say champions, you're not going to call up. You know, but it had been Nakamura, then Bayley probably.
Yeah,
would have been my number three.
Obviously.
You know, so it's just a matter of, you know, I just think that the draft itself, kayfabe wise, a lot of it did not make sense to me. You know, there are certain picks that did, but there were so many of them I just looked at and I was like, why did you call Breezango up right now? Why didn't you call Cesaro? You know, why is the Ascension actually getting picked? Like, you know, why aren't they the last overall pick?
And they were picked before Zack Ryder.
I know. Like, why didn't you pick Zack Ryder? Like, you would go champions, you know, are going to be your top overall picks. Obviously, John Cena is going to be there because he transcends the championship. Brock Lesnar the same, but your champions should be your top picks. And then after that, probably the challengers, because they have a chance of taking the titles, you know? So there, kayfabe wise, there was just so much that I was just sitting there, like I was dumbfounded by, and it kind of has me worried. Cause I think that they took, you know, the entire roster and they split it down the middle. And as opposed to get a 75-75 show, you know, like it's going to actually be 75% of good. It's going to be like a 50-50. It'll be 50% good on Raw, 50% good on SmackDown. And that's my fear right now.
And I believe the numbers will say it all. And that's the other problem, is that we don't know how it's going to be. Basically, I would say at least 2 months to see if it's actually working. So that's the other thing we have to look at. I think we should later on do a special and see if it worked, what they've done so far. But maybe we'll give that maybe November around that time. So anyway, so let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or a podcaster? Or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script install to the free set builder, and hands-on the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free download to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Off the Mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to say big on items from WWEShop.com. Let's talk some Battleground. What do you think, Aaron?
I think that there's a pay-per-view this weekend.
There is a pay-per-view.
Yeah, so we have a let's talk about some of the bigger matches here. We have Sasha and a mystery partner versus Charlotte and Dana Brooke. Doug, who do you think is going to be the mystery partner and why?
See, at first I really thought it was going to be Bayley. I thought she was going to get drafted and that would become the mystery partner for Sasha. But now that she didn't get called up, I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be like Nia Jax or somebody. Just I gotta figure it's gotta be one of maybe the NXT people, Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, or maybe Carmella. I don't know which one, but I'm kind of leaning towards Nia Jax being the mystery component, because just to give that kind of scare factor or something.
What about you, Roger?
I actually still think it's Bayley. I think that's the only reason she wasn't called up, is for the surprise. I mean, you've stripped, I actually think it may be Asuka as well. I just feel like you've stripped that women's division so thin in NXT at this point that you might as well call the last two up and just, you know, start over. Do another tournament, you know, have like a fresh crop of women come in and, you know, let's just say, you know, season one or division one or whatever you want to call it, those women have done and they're graduated and we're going to start all over, because Asuka and Bayley are on a whole different level from anybody else right now in NXT, whatever's left. So I would call one of those twos up. That would be the surprise partner for Sasha. And then they, you know, do their work and Sasha moves on to SummerSlam.
What about you, Andy?
I still think it's going to be Bayley. I think the reason why they did it this way is to give Bayley that big, oh my gosh, moment. And I think that she deserves it because of everything that she's done. She basically stayed at NXT for almost a full year after everyone else got called up. But she's done a great job for NXT, and I think this is the right thing to do for her, is to have a big entrance, have the those one things that you see at the car dealers and in the whatever, I can't think of what they're called, but the things that wave around a lot. That's I think that's the thing that they have to do for. Just have that big moment, have multiple ones of those, and have people go nuts when they see that all those are laying out. Oh man, I can picture it actually already on Sunday how cool it's going to look. I don't think it's going to be AXA at all. I think that's a mistake if they do that.
Well, I think that it will be an NXT call up, and I think that it will be not a call up necessarily, but a one time appearance. Like they call Bayley just to see how the crowd reacts to her on a larger scale, because maybe they're a little gun shy. Maybe they saw what happened with Adam Rose. They saw what happened with, Fabrice. What's his face? You know, Fandango.
Fabrice.
You know. They saw what happened with those, you know, like, and maybe they're a little scared that Bayley will get called up and then they'll be like, oh, crap, actually, people only like her in the smaller setting. So I think that it's going to be a test. Because she does have her rematch at Brooklyn, and they're probably going to try to keep that as its own thing. So that's my guess. Now, the next one that we have Rusev, the U.S. Champion, against Ryder. Rusev is on Raw. Ryder's on SmackDown now. I think that Rusev is going to retain. I don't see this going anywhere else. I see that they are going to keep the U.S. title on Raw. What about you, Roger?
If we were doing odds, I'd give Ryder a 0% chance of winning. This is Rusev's. You know, he's going to be booked. This is basically his push from a couple years ago, right? He's going to be the dominant foreign heel to be beaten by the up and coming John Cena. I mean, face of the company. So probably Roman Reigns, or, you know, however they want to do it. But I see Ryder tapping out, and, you know, he'll get one good offensive sequence. I say this goes 8 to 10 minutes. You know, Rusev with a submission.
I disagree with you. I think Ryder's going to win. And I think that Miz is going to lose. So then they have the IC title on one and then the US title on the other. That's what I think is going to happen.
You think Zack Ryder is going to cleanly beat him, or you think
so? No. I think Mojo's going to do something. That's what I believe will happen. I think Mojo will come out and like try and hit on Lana, you know, so he's because he's so hyped. Zack Ryder wins the title, and I bet anything. The next night in 2 nights on SmackDown, Ryder drops the title to Miz again. That's what I think is going to happen.
What about you, Doug?
See, I kind of had the same idea that Ryder would, and I would want to judge mine. If Miz lost to Darren Young, then I say Ryder beats Rusev for the title, because they're just, and I think it would be absolutely hilarious just to watch them both switch titles, to have them go to one or the other. It kind of makes sense too, and just the irony aspect of why Daniel Bryan picked The Miz. He didn't want to. But at the same time, I think they're both going to retain. If my official pick is that Rusev will win, and also The Miz will win.
Oh, man. Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Well, I already gave it, but if you want to move on to the next one.
No, I thought about the double switch.
I don't think that we're going to see a double switch, but I think it's a possibility. I don't think that they would have both titles go to one brand. I don't think that'd be a good move.
No.
I think that'd be a terrible move. So it's WWE. It's probably going to happen. But I do have Miz from SmackDown retaining over Darren Young on Raw.
All right. Now, Doug, what do you think about Cena and Enzo and Cass take it on the club? Do you think that Enzo and Cass, this is going to help them, or do you think the club's going to dominate and win here?
I think you got to have, just for pure fun aspect, I think you got to have the club win this one. Just that last, we're going to go out beating John Cena. God, I hope so. I want to see it. I know it's going to continue. You're still going to probably have AJ versus Cena continue since they're both on SmackDown. You'll have the club still continuing their feud with Enzo and Cass because they're both on Raw. So you could very well see this also just ending up in a DQ. But I want to see the club win. My official prediction, though, is going to be Cena and Enzo and Cass.
Roger, hashtag beat up John Cena. What do you think?
One of my favorite hashtags in the business. I'm legitimately torn on this match. I'm kind of 50-50 on this one. If I gave odds, I'd say it's a coin flip. I think you can legitimately have Cena and Enzo and Cass win because you don't, you know, Enzo and Cass don't have a pay-per-view win yet because, you know, Enzo got hurt at what was it, Extreme Rules or Payback, which, you know, whatever those two. And so, you know, Cena needs to get a win against Styles. It's a good way for them to get a pinfall over the club without Styles having to eat the loss. That way they can do the rubber match at SummerSlam. But at the same time, to Doug's point, I think you do want the club to go out strong, you know, have that one last beat up John Cena moment, you know, do some nefarious actions where hit a magic killer from behind and drag AJ over top of him to kind of recreate the finish. I'm going to go with the club. I'm going to say it's going to be a dirty finish somehow, but I think it's going to be, you know, very back and forth. They probably will pin Enzo if I were to take a guess. I don't think Cena will eat the pinfall here. And usually when Enzo and Cass lose, Enzo eats the pinfall. So I say he eats it.
All right, Aaron, wow. Before you actually give your prediction, I actually have an idea for this match. So hear me out. What's going to happen is the club's going to win. It'll be dirty, but it'll be dirty because of one Finn Balor who comes out and interferes in the match. I think that's what they do.
No, they are not going to have him be a heel to start off with. Maybe they move him in that direction, but they're not going to have him come as a heel.
But he comes
out. He's going to be too over. That body paint will be way too over on Raw. I mean, or I guess on pay-per-views. So I don't see Finn necessarily being a heel. I don't know. But I have Enzo, Cass, and Cena on this, and it's like, for me, like a 70-30 split. Like, wow. I don't see this as a coin flip. I see the club got a win this past week on Raw, you know, and obviously Cena then gets the win over everybody, you know, because it's Cena. But I see this as their way of having Cena beating probably Gallows or Anderson, and then they have their rubber band. This is the rubber band match between Cena and AJ, and then they have their match at SummerSlam, you know, to decide, you know, who the real winner is between them. Mm-hmm. That's how I see this. So I'd say 70-30, like, maybe even 75-25 in favor of Cena, Enzo, and Cass.
So basically what you're saying is this one match could actually have two matches at SmackDown, as an Enzo and Cass versus the club. I'm sorry, not at SmackDown, but at SummerSlam. And then also have Cena versus AJ at SummerSlam as well, which could also lead to their pay-per-views, which is nice.
Not to get too far ahead, but I think that at SummerSlam we'll see the titles probably come off New Day at that time. So we'll probably see like New Day versus Enzo and Cass and the club or something like that, maybe a triple threat or ladder match, something along those lines, my guess.
Now, Aaron, what do you think about the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match? Like, for me, it's a big thing. Like, I think this is gonna be a great match, but what are your thoughts on it, and do you think that this is where it ends at Battleground?
It won't end here. It'll keep going. This to me is the toss-up. You know, Kevin Owens did beat him cleanly at their last pay-per-view match. Sammy did win on Raw with like a roll up. So I could see Sammy winning here, but this to me is more of the toss up. If you putting a gun to my head, I'm saying probably Sammy is going to win here to get a huge win, really propel him as a big face over on Raw, which I think would really help them and help him out to help solidify that underdog mentality. So I'll pick Sammy, but to me, it's toss up.
All right, Roger, your thoughts.
So I originally thought the feud was going to end because I thought they could be on different shows, but they're not on different shows. So I guess the feud needs to continue, right? Owens won the first one. If he wins the second one, the feud's over. So I guess Sammy wins, but I feel like the whole feud is Sammy can't beat Owens because he has never beaten Kevin Owens, to my knowledge, one-on-one.
They had a raw match, and it was a roll up. It was like 3 minutes. It was, basically a throwaway. But
he beat him with a roll up of death. Like, he's never legitimately like knocked him out with a Helluva kick and then pinned him. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So he's never beaten him, quote unquote, is what they would use. You know. So I guess the feud continue. I don't really know. I expect them to. I actually think they make one of them gets traded. I think they're going to keep brawling and Stephanie's going to get sick of it and say, you know what, just go to SmackDown and get out. You know, I'm done dealing with you guys tearing up Raw. I go with Sammy with a roll up of death. You know, should be another good match because these two always are good. But yeah, I think this needs to end at SummerSlam and you need a gimmick. I would even be happy with Owens busting out the package pile driver at SummerSlam to put away Sammy once and for all.
That would be a good way to introduce the package pile driver. But of course, they won't be able to do it all the time. But Doug, KO versus Zayn, what do you think?
This is, I'm going to go ahead and say this is going to be the match of the night. It's gonna steal Lim, the show. Going to steal
the show. Everybody.
Yeah, I know. Big Lim. And I have odds at 50-50 on this one, too. I think Sammy's, my official prediction is that Sammy's going to win, and it's just going to produce the storyline aspect of that's why I got picked first over Kevin Owens. But then again, I can also see Kevin Owens winning and saying, see, that proves that I should have been picked before Sammy. So Sammy's my official pick, but I can see it going either way.
All right. So with the main events, well, looks like it's going to be the main event, at least. Ambrose versus Roman Reigns versus Rollins. Doug, what do you think is going to happen, especially when Roman Reigns comes out? Do you think there's going to be a ton of boos, or do you think that Ambrose is going to retain? That's the other thing. So what do you think about this match?
This is an interesting one, and I think Aaron had a very interesting point earlier in the show when he said that Roman Reigns eats the pin, but it's both Ambrose and Rollins pinning him. I actually like that kind of storyline aspect of it. I do believe that because of the drug suspension, Roman Reigns is going to be the person who takes the pin here. So who's your winner going to be? I'm going to actually go with Rollins. I think the title goes to Raw right now, and you put it on Rollins.
Wow. Roger, what do you think?
I actually agree with Doug. I would have never thought 2 months ago, before my invasion of the Roman Empire to destroy it from within, that Roman Reigns would not be the favorite going into this match. But I think he's the only one you can't walk out as a champion. I mean, he just got back off a suspension, so I don't think he's trusted with the title anymore. I think if you want to continue the feud between Ambrose and Rollins with one more match, you got to have Rollins win. He can either steal a pinfall over Reigns or both of them pin Roman. But I think Rollins just pedigrees Roman one more time, probably after Reigns spears Ambrose to make it look like he was about to win. And, you know, Aunt Rollins will sneak in, drill him with a pedigree, or I'd love to bring back the curb stomp, and then he'll get the pin. But yeah, I think the title goes to Raw, validates his number one pick status. Stephanie comes out looking the winner. Raw looks better, yada, yada, yada.
And my opinion on this, I think it's going to be a really weird curveball. And I think what Roger said and Doug said, I think it could be that way, but I think Ambrose will be the one on top some way. But Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Well, so, you know, it's a triple threat at Battleground. There's two Raw guys and one SmackDown guy. So Raw's got a 66 2/3 chance of taking the world title. But oh, no. Roman is a genetic freak, and he's not normal. Plus, Dean's never beaten him, and Roman's beaten him twice, both in a single and triple threat scenario. So Dean's 33% and a 3rd% chance is down to 25 at best. And when you add Seth Rollins, that number drastically goes down. So as you can see, the numbers spell disaster for SmackDown at Battleground.
Where is that from?
Are you serious, Andy?
I didn't know if someone actually wrote that, but I know it's Steiner when he talked about Samoa Joe.
It's Steiner, Joe, and Angle, the triple threat at Sacrifice. Yeah. that was amazing, Aaron.
Aaron, did you write that?
As line of the year.
No, I didn't write that. I just, you know, took like the.
Oh, you did on the fly? You did on the fly? Okay. That I will say, that was awesome.
All right. So my pick is Ambrose.
No, your pick is Scott Steiner. Period.
33-3.
That discussion is over.
I'm picking Ambrose. I think that they will keep the title, or the potential of doing the thing I had suggested. That would be my pick for Battleground, how it's going to end.
Oh, man. You cracked me up, Aaron. That was awesome. So is there going to be any surprises? Do you think that's going to happen at Battleground, Aaron?
Scott Steiner's going to come out.
Doug, any surprises? Or do you think it's just going to be a show?
I don't know. I think this should be in a throwaway pay-per-view once they decided the brand split. They should have just thrown it away and gone into SummerSlam with since SummerSlam is a combined pay-per-view, and now Battleground will be one that is just either Raw or SmackDown. They should have just thrown this one away and built up all the feuds for SummerSlam.
Well, to me, if you just had a draft and your name's Battleground, why isn't this just Raw versus SmackDown? That's a perfect type of throwaway pay-per-view to do, where you have all Raw wrestlers versus all SmackDown wrestlers for brand superiority. Simple. You can still build the SummerSlam and have the feuds that matter continuing going. You can have a little network special about, oh, you know, which show will establish itself as the number one and get that little stupid trophy they do at Bragging Rights. Even end with a 5-on-5 match if you wanted to.
But don't you have a – I mean, you already have Clash of the Champions, but now that's just a – is that going to be just Raw then?
That one is only Raw, and then after that is No Mercy, which is SmackDown, then Hell in a Cell at Raw.
Okay.
Then Survivor Series, which I think is what should be Bragging Rights, where you do a 5-on-5 elimination match. And then you have SmackDown, then apparently they're going to do Roadblock again, although I think that's going to get renamed.
Oh, jeez. Roadblock.
Although, hey, you know what? They're bringing back Backlash, Clash of the Champions, and No Mercy. So I'm cool.
You
talk. I want Bash at the Beach. I so want Bash at the Beach and Halloween Havoc.
Yes.
I want Halloween Havoc. Yes. Yeah.
Starcade?
I would be cool with Starcade. The only thing is that I would worry is that Starcade was the signature event. And you know, with Vince, whenever he gets a chance to kind of stick it to WCW, he would make Starcade the worst possible pay-per-view just to be like, see, I told you Starcade always sucked. Like, I just wouldn't trust him using Starcade.
Good old Vince. But anywho, so yeah, I'm looking forward to Battleground, and we'll come back next week and discuss this month's view from the turnbuckle. The results and other things. See how what the first shows did, you know, because they're going to be live. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthemarK86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Doug Hahn, Roger Cave, and Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.